Hey, let's begin by thanking Dan and our anointed worship team, all of them just anointed men and women, musicians and singers alike. We appreciate them. Give them another big hand. Don't you appreciate this leading us into the presence of God? We don't take them for granted. We're so grateful for them and all they do. So grateful for them. The real gratitude is flowing at the Ray home, at the Ray household. I have a new grandbaby. Kendrick William was born this past week. I think Wednesday, and he was a little preemie baby born 4 pounds, 1 ounce. But mama's already home and baby Kendrick is doing well. And today we got to FaceTime with him while we were watching Lincoln while my son Stephen and Amy were at the hospital with Kendrick. And they were holding him and they FaceTimed us all. And we just had the best time looking into his eyes and talking to him. But he's thriving there and doing well. And our hearts are overflowing with gratitude. Can anybody say God is good? Amen. Praise God. We're so thankful. You have your Bible tonight. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Tony and I have been on vacation for the last few days, and we've been back, last week, but prior to that, we've been gone for a little bit, and I tell you, this psalm, the Lord has spoken to me more than once or twice out of this Psalm 107, and I thought it was just for me, but then while we were away meditating, the Lord gave me a message that fits for tonight. And so in asking the Lord what he would have, this is what fits and what we believe the Lord wants us to say. How many know God's got a message for every service? God's got a message for every person, and God's got a message for every service. How many know that tonight? And I tell you, if you'll release your faith tonight, God's got something to say to you. Get your eyes off the preacher. Get your eyes off the man. Get your eyes on God and on his word. And God's got something to say to you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. You're in Psalm 107. It's really a long psalm. These 43 some odd verses. And I don't know how many times I've read these verses again and again since we've been off. But the title of this message is God's Got It. I wonder if you'd help me with that title. Say that with me. God's Got It. Help me one more time. Look at somebody now and tell them this. God's got it. Look at one more person. One more. Just one more person. Tell them God's got it. You say, what has God got? He's got the answer to your problem. You may not know how to figure it out, but God's got the answer. And when our finite minds come to an end trying to figure out solutions to trouble and problems, God has only just begun. God's got the answer tonight. God knows how to get you through it. God knows how to get it to you. God knows how to get it through you. God knows how to help you in every situation you face. I don't know about you, but through these 62 years that I've lived, God's been so good to me, and we've faced many situations, dangers, toils, and snares in these 62 years. But every time, God has brought me through. Again and again, God has brought me through. There have been times when I didn't know the answer. I didn't know how to do it, but God did it. God brought me through. And Psalm 107 is a clarion call. It beckons you and I in the spirit that we have praising and thanking to do because God has been so good. I said, God has been good to you. You remember the Lord Jesus, he said, I think it's over in Luke 17, you don't have to turn there, stay here in Psalm 107. But the Lord Jesus said in Luke that when he healed the 10 lepers and the one came back, you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, didn't I heal 10? The Lord Jesus asked, he said, where are the other 9? The one came back giving glory. The one came back giving praises. The one came back giving him honor. But the Lord was looking for the other 9. And he told the one that came back, he said, your faith has made you whole. There are some principles here in Psalm 107 that call you and I to examine what God has done for us and to give God the credit and the glory for what he has done. Those first two verses say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. That verse would have gone well with Pastor's scripture this morning. He didn't share that one, but that would have fit right. He had a great message this morning about the redeemed of the Lord. But this verse right here, Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." Let me ask you this. Do I have any redeemed people in here tonight? Is there anybody that the Lord, he redeemed you from the hand of the enemy? Is there anybody glad to be free from Satan's tyranny? Is there anybody, can anybody still remember? Because I know we have short memories today. People have short attention spans. People have short memories. And so people say, "Well, thank you, Lord." Then next week they can't remember what the Lord did. People say, "Thank you, Lord." Then next week they say, "Well, what have you done for me lately?" But I tell you what, we've got something that God has done that ought to make us shout every day. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Oh, you ought to think back every now and then and think about what your life was like before you met Christ. I remember what my life was like in May of 1979 when I went down on a bended knee and asked the Lord to save me. Oh, and it seemed like the cares and the weight of the world lifted off my shoulders in May 1979. I never will forget it. God took Satan's hand off of me and said, "Take your hand off of him." And I've been free ever since. Glory be to God. And I tell you, I'm glad to be free. And people who are free shouldn't be ashamed. You should be thankful. You should be grateful. You should be shouting glad that he set you free. People are like, "Well, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me? Well, I got a light bill due." You ought to forget about your light bill and think about what God has already done. So often we're asking God to do something and we forget what he's already done. He's already saved you. He's already set you free. He's already delivered you. And we ought to turn and just concentrate on what he's already done. Somebody ought to say, "Lord, thank you." Because the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." They tried to stop the children and the people from praising Jesus. They were trying to shut up the kids. They were praising Jesus as he triumphantly entered Jerusalem. They were trying to shut down the praise. And they were trying to put the brakes on the praise. And Jesus said, "If they don't cry out, the very rocks will cry out and praise me." But I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for Bill. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for me. He saved me and I'm glad about it. Isaiah 12:3 said, "I'm going to draw joy from the well of salvation." And when your salvation gets too old for you to praise him, you need another dip. When just being saved is not enough for you to lift your hands. When just being saved is not enough for you to praise him. When just being saved is not enough for you to forget about who's around you and throw your hands in the air and say, "God, I want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you for delivering me. I want to thank you for setting me free." You may have forgotten. You may have forgotten what it was like to be bound. You may have already forgotten what it was like when Satan had his hand on us. Satan would tell us, "Go do that." We would run over there and do it. He would grab us and say, "Now go over there and do that." We'd run over there and do it. He'd grab us and say, "Now get back and do this." And we would run over there and do it. Oh, but then came the glorious day when God said, "Take your hand off of my child." Hey, and he set us free. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. And Psalm 107 calls us to remember what God has already done. I said, he's already done enough to send us shouting into glory. I said, if he never did another thing for you, he's already done enough to make us shout every day. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus gave his life for you and I. And I tell you, we ought to be glad about it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord, they ought to tell it. They ought to say so. And so this Psalm 107, it describes people, four different types of people, and every one of them have a problem. Four different types of people are described in these 43 verses. And every single one of the four have a huge, unsolvable, from the natural perspective, unsolvable problem. We get a clue first here at verse 4. With the first group of people I call the wanderers. Say that with me, the wanderers. Yeah, the wanderers got big trouble, big trouble. The Bible says here at verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. And they were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. That's an amazing thing, because God told them that he had an inhabited city for them. God told them it was a land flowing with milk and honey. God told them that he would personally provide and see to it that all their needs were met. But somehow or another, they got out there in that desert, and what they found through their experience was it looked like God wasn't going to be faithful. When they got out there in that desert, it looked like God wasn't going to be faithful. And Israel, the Bible said, they turned a 2-week journey into a 40-year trauma. And if they had just learned the lesson that you and I need to remember tonight, that God, he's faithful even when it don't look like it. I said, God is faithful even when things go wrong. In the life of every believer, things sometimes go wrong. Things don't always go according to plan. You say, brother, you're making a negative confession. I'm not making a negative confession over you. You need to read the book of James. James chapter 1 verse 2 said, listen, when you encounter various trials, and the Bible doesn't say if you encounter, the Bible says count it all joy when you encounter various trials. And it doesn't matter who we are, because in this life, Satan is the god, small g, of this world. And he is the one creating havoc. He is the one lying. He is the one stealing. He is the one cheating. John 10:10, the thief comes but not to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So it's clear there is a will of God for us to have an abundant life overflowing. And it's clear that there is a plan of the enemy. If we allow him, we don't have to allow him. Thank God. It's our choice. The Bible said, I put before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. And so we can't let the enemy's plan prevail when God has already given us the victorious plan of the Lord Jesus. So the wanderers, this is the first group of people with a problem. They wandered in the wilderness and desert region. They didn't find a way to an inhabited city, even though God said they would. They were hungry and thirsty, even though God said they would be filled and fed. And so they had a problem. And these wanderers over now, we can see them today through, they transcend down through time. And these are often Christians who are not living in the light of the word and who are not walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are so many Christian people today who are wonderful people, just amazing people, just love. There are so many people today wandering around aimlessly with their faith. They wander from church to church with no real commitment. They wander around from places in the body of Christ and they don't stay anywhere very long. They wander in their faith, back and forth, up and down. And these are people today who have lost their passion for Christ. But the Christian life has been designed by God for you and I to live it with passion for Jesus. We are not to live some dull, meek, milk toast, banana back Christianity. God wants us to be on fire for Jesus. Wherever we are, wherever we live, whatever our sphere of influence, God wants you and I to be on fire for Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says we are to fervently, we're to live with a fervency for serving Christ with a fervency. It means boiling over, boiling hot. It's the only way the Christian life can be lived. And there are so many Christians, sadly, today who are just wandering in their faith. Some of them, something in life has hurt them. Some situation, some circumstance has hurt them, and they've gotten disillusioned. And so they just say, well, okay, I'll go to church. That's all I'm doing. They don't make any extra effort. They don't have any passion for the Lord. They just wander. Spiritually, they're hungry. Spiritually, they're thirsty. But Jesus said, let all who thirst come unto me and drink, and there's rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if you're not living your life 100% for Jesus tonight, If you're wandering around in your faith, you may be going through the routine, going through the motion, showing up at church, but not really any passion for Christ. God's got your answer tonight. The wanderers are described here in Psalm 107. That's a huge problem. Second group of people, a group of people I call the prisoners. Say that with me, the prisoners. You can see Psalm 107 refers to them at verse 10. And the wanderers there, we saw at verse 4. Now when we slip down to verse 10, it said there were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High, and therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled there, and there was none to help. Man, the Bible says, calls them prisoners. And if something, you may be listening to this message tonight, and you may fall into this category. You may say, well, I got trouble like that. If something's got you bound, God, listen, Jesus died for you and I to be free. And the Bible says in John chapter 8, he whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Jesus didn't give his life, didn't suffer on the cross, didn't go through all he went through for us to abdicate our authority and our benefits and rights and privileges in Christ. God gets glory when we get the benefit for everything Jesus paid for. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. But there are some people that in the body of Christ, it may be you, listen, and they are prisoners. Something's got you bound. If something's got you bound, Jesus wants you free. I remember talking to a young man. He told me, he said, my wife left, and he said, I've been lonely, and I haven't known how to handle the situation, and he said, I turned to the bottle, and he said, I've been drinking every night, and he said, I didn't know what else to do. I was facing trouble. He said, I couldn't sleep, and he said, I just... And now I feel bound. This alcohol has got me bound. Oh, but then I remember how the hand of the Lord set him free. God doesn't want you bound by anything. You know, all over the world today, people are strung out on opioids, and this opioid addiction thing is a real problem, and people are strung out. But let me tell you this, Jesus died to set you free. There's some people, they're bound and hooked on nicotine, and they want to be free. They're hooked on nicotine and they want to be free, but Jesus died to set you free. And some people are strung out on pornography and they're not sure how to get free of pornography, but Jesus died to set you free. And not only did he die to set you free, he died to keep you free. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. He is our Lord, and he doesn't want anything to have the mastery over us. We have a master. His name is Jesus. And he doesn't want anything shackling us. And if there's something that's got you bound, I came to tell you tonight that Jesus wants you to be set free, and you can be set free from that thing. There's nothing binding you that the power of God won't set you free from. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing that's got you bound that the power of Almighty God won't set you free tonight from. I said, he'll set you free right now tonight. I said, he'll set you free right now tonight. So there are those who are the wanderers. They've lost their passion for Jesus Christ. And we see that all over the body of Christ sometimes. There are those who are the prisoners, and something, unfortunately, has got them bound. Jesus is their Lord, but something has gotten in there and gotten them bound. Thirdly, we went from verse 4 to verse 10, where the prisoners were. Verse 4, where the wanderers were. Verse 10, where the prisoners are. Slip down now to verse 17. A group of people the Bible calls fools. Now, when we talk about the fools, I want you to understand tonight, Brother Bill is not calling anybody a fool. I'm just quoting scripture. Now, if the scripture fit, no, I'm not. But verse 17 describes a group of people that the Bible identifies as fools. And verse 17 says, fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Man, fools. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7:26, Jesus said there are two types of people. Both of them have problems. And he said, but one type of people, Matthew 7:24, he said they could be compared to a wise man. They built their house on a rock. And when the floods came and the winds blew and the waves beat against that house, it stood because they built the house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. But at Matthew 7:26, Jesus said, there's another type of people. They hear the same word. They got the same problem, the same problems, and they hear the same word, but they don't act on it. They don't act on what he said. They don't act on the word. They hear the word, but they don't act on the word. And Jesus said, that person's a fool. Jesus said, that person's a fool. To hear the word and to hear the solution to a problem, but then not act on the problem. Jesus said, that's a fool. Over in Luke 12, Jesus said, he called the man a fool who had built many barns. He had a lot of riches. And he said, I got so many riches. And he was concentrating with the wrong priorities. No heart for God, no passion for God, just to gather things. His goal was to gather things in life, amass things in life. That was his only priority. And he said, well, I'm going to tear down all my barns and build bigger barns and put all my stuff in there. And then I'll eat, drink, and be happy. And that's the goal of life. And God said, you fool. Your very soul will be required from you. God called that man a fool. Over in Psalm 14, verse 1, it said, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. There are several places in Scripture where God identifies someone as a fool. And yet here in our text, at verse 17, it said, fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Isaiah 1:19 said, if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. So the Bible here describes the first group of people, the wanderers. They've lost their passion. They're drifting. There's no real purpose. The prisoners, something's got them bound. These are believers as well. Something's got them bound. The fools, they're just living in sin. They're just living in a rebellious way. They know what the word says. They know what God says, and they still continue to live in sin. They're dibbling and dabbing in sin and going the other way, backslidden condition. The Bible says that's a fool because there are consequences to that. Yeah. And the fourth type of person in this passage is what I call the storm tossed. And you can see them starting at verse 25. It says, he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. And they rose up to the heavens, and they went down to the depths. So they were going up and down with the waves. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. The storm tossed. These are good folks. These are believers who are going through a storm. And I don't know about you, but I've been in storms before. I remember several years back going through a divorce. That was a storm. It was a huge storm. In my life, going through a divorce was a cataclysmic storm. I had never faced a storm like that. Oh, but I'm here to declare and tell you tonight that God brought me through that storm. And in the midst of my storm, when my storm was raging, God let me know that everything was going to be all right. And right in the middle of the storm, God told me, if you keep your eye on me, I'll keep you right in the eye of the storm where my peace is upon you, and I'll bring you on through. And the Lord told me, you won't even smell like smoke when it's over. And right in the midst of the storm, while the storm was raging, one morning in my prayer time, the Lord told me, get up and declare out of your mouth that your storm is over. But from a natural perspective, the storm wasn't over. The storm was raging. But the Lord told me, get on your feet and declare that the storm is over. And I got on my feet and declared that the storm was over. And it was just a short matter of time where God quelled the storm. God quelled the wind and the waves. Hey, and brought me through. Glory to God. I said, he brought me through. Won't he do it? He knows how to get you through the storms of life. Somebody hurt you. Something happened unexpectedly. Somebody went home to be with the Lord that you wanted to stay in this earth. That's a storm. And when a storm rages around a Christian, it's a dangerous situation. Because many times Christians take the anchor of their faith and they just untie the anchor and just throw it in the sea. And if you're going through a storm, Jesus is that anchor. Don't unlatch, don't unhook that anchor. Listen, he's an anchor that will keep you in the midst of the waves. When the ship is rocking, when the waves are beating, the anchor will hold. I said his name is Jesus. It doesn't matter what your storm is, he'll bring you through. I know you're going through a trouble in your relationship. I know you're going through a problem down there on your job. Something happened that you hadn't expected. You're going through a storm. But if you'll keep your eyes on God, if you'll walk in love, if you'll continue to keep his word coming out of your mouth, he will bring you through the storm. And so for the storm tossed, oh, God's got your answer. God's got your answer. For every one of these problems, for the wanderers, for the prisoners, for the fools, for the storm-tossed, each of them in Psalm 107 turned to God and asked God for his help. It's a beautiful thing when the wanderers turn to God and ask him for help. You can see that at verse 4. Verse six. The wanderers turned to God and asked him for help. Verse six. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. You know what that means? God turned that thing around. And whatever you're going through tonight, hey, God can turn that thing around. You may be wandering, you may be drifting aimlessly, but hey, if you'll repent and get your eyes back on God and do what he's telling you, he'll lead you by the hand to an inhabited city. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Don't you love that? What about the prisoners? The prisoners were identified in verse 10, but when you look down at verse 13, what's it say about the prisoners? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He bought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Oh, glory be to God. God's got an answer for the prisoner tonight. You feel like something's got you bound from alcohol to pornography? God's got your answer tonight. I tell you what. Now, sometimes people have problems with the flesh, and all of us have to keep the flesh under. Won't get an amen there. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I buffet my body. He said, listen, I have to bring my body under control after I've preached to others. I don't want to be disqualified, he said. Everybody has to control their flesh. And some people have a flesh problem. And if you have a flesh problem, you need to crucify it. Go to the book of Galatians. Crucify the flesh. Wish I had a bigger amen. But there are other people, and they are bound by something. Satan has some demonic scheme that's got you bound. And I'm talking to you tonight. Jesus wants you free. He wants you to be set free tonight. And so the fools in verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destructions. What about the storm tossed? They called out to the Lord. You can see that at verse 28. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. God answered every single one. He's no respecter of persons. And what he did for one, he sent me tonight to tell you, he wants to do for you. You feeling like the wanderer tonight? Oh, God's got your answer if you'll cry out to him. You feeling like the prisoner tonight? God's got your answer if you'll cry out to him. You identified yourself, oh, I'm happy to be in that foolish category. God's got your answer if you'll cry out to him. You say, I'm in a storm. I'm in a cataclysmic storm. God's got your answer if you'll cry out to him. And for each of these who cried out to the Lord helped every single one of them. He's no respecter of persons. And he sent me to tell you, he'll help you that same way. He'll help you right now. He'll help you right now tonight that same way. I said, he'll help you that same way. Every one of them called out to the Lord, and every one of them, God helped them. Every one of them had different set of problems, and every one of them, God answered all their prayers and solved every problem. Every single one of them. He told me to tell you, he wants to do the same thing for you. But the Bible here calls each of these folks with problems God has responded. God has solved their problem. But the Bible calls us back to remember what the Lord has done. And the Bible, each of them had their own way of giving praise and glory to God. They didn't just let what God did for them pass by silently. They were willing to tell it over in, stand up on your feet, my brother and sister, over in Psalm 107, verse 2, stand up on your feet for me. It says there, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. God redeemed anybody in here tonight? You told me a few minutes ago he had redeemed you. Yeah. And so they start out just saying so. They start out just saying what the Lord has done. But it's a progressive. What happens in this text of Scripture, Psalm 107, their praise and worship to God begins to increase exponentially at what the Lord has done. At verse 2, they start out just saying so. God did it for me. God saved me. God healed me. God delivered me. God set me free. God brought me through. Yeah, they start out just saying so in verse 2. But look down at verse 8. At verse 8, it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. Oh, God said, okay, it's one thing to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, but then there's a time you ought to thank him. You ought to thank God for what he's done for you. The Bible says, for his wonders to the sons of men, you ought to thank him for it. And then down at verse 15, it says, let the prisoners, let me talk to the prisoners for a moment. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men, for he shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. He broke the chains. You were bound. How many can remember? You were bound by something, but Jesus set you free. Something one day had a hold of you, but Jesus broke the chains. He broke the bands. He broke the irons, and he set you free. Yeah, the Bible says we've got to thank him for that. We've got to praise him for that. Oh, but then what about the fools? Down at verse 21, the fool said, let us get on this because God has also helped us. And verse 21 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. And let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Look how it progresses now. And tell of his works with joyful singing. Now the Bible says they're singing. The prisoner said, let us get in on this thing. We're going to tell it. We're going to worship. We're going to sing praises to God because he set us free. But then when you read down about the storm tossed at verse 31, they said, let us get in on this thing. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Then it says this, let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. That word extol, it means to lift up. It means to lift him up. It means to bless his name. It means to lift up your heart to God. It means to lift up your hands to the Lord. It means to forget about who's around you. It means to forget who might call you crazy. Somebody may call you a holy roller, but you get your eyes on Jesus and you realize what he's done for you and you realize where you were and hey, God brought you through that thing and you were bound, but God set you free. You were wandering, but God brought you in. You had done wrong, but God forgave you. Oh, God brought you through. He healed you, set you free. The Bible says we ought to thank him. We ought to say so. We ought to praise him. We ought to extol him. We ought to lift him up. We ought to give him the glory because he's a good God. God has been so good to you. God set you free. God helped you. God healed you. God put bread on your table and you ought to praise him for it. Not only that, God gave you a car to drive. You ought to thank him for it. Not only that, God gave you a job. You ought to thank him for it. Not only that, God gave you favor like a shield, and you ought to thank him for it. Hey, God has helped you in the morning. God has helped you at noonday. God has helped you in the evening. God has helped you in the middle of the night, and you ought to thank him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Don't let any rocks cry out for you. You ought to bless his name. I said you ought to bless his name. I said he's worthy. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. So many times today, people act like they don't need the Lord. People say, yeah. God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. They do more cheering for the Cowboys than they do for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with cheering for the Cowboys, but you ought not let your enthusiasm for a football team outshine your enthusiasm for Jesus. And if you can be home shouting when the guy's got the pigskin, he's running, he's ducking, he's moving, and you shouting and you running, then you can do that for Jesus. Jesus has conquered principalities. Jesus dethroned Satan. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus rose from the grave. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I said we ought to at least be able to do that for Jesus. You ought to act like you need him. Some people are afraid to act like they need him. Oh, but when God sees you, act like you need him. You're not embarrassed to act like you need him. Some people act like, well, no, I don't really need that. Well, the Lord saved me, but I didn't really need it. The Lord saved me, healed me, but I didn't really need it. The Lord set me free, but I didn't really need it. No, God is waiting for somebody to act like you need it. Act like you need him. Give him all the glory and praise him because he's worthy. Praise him because he's worthy. I said praise him because he's worthy. One more time. Bless him. Don't let any rocks cry out for you. Come on. Bless his name. Has he been good to you? Has God helped you? Did God save you? Did God heal you? Did God set you free? Boy, he's worthy tonight. No man could have done that. No man could have done what God's done for you. No man gets the glory. God gets the glory for what he's done for you. God did that for you. No man did that. You said, well, my boss gave me the promotion. God got you that promotion. You said, God, my boss, somebody helped me get a house. God got you that house. You said, well, I'm riding in the car because they gave me the credit at the thing. God gave you all of that. But I wonder anybody here tonight, and you say, brother, I hear you, what you're saying, but something's got me bound. It's not just a matter of controlling my flesh. There's something that's got me bound. I'm bound, and I want to be free. If that's you tonight, I want you to just slip out your seat and come down here. You say, I'm bound. Something's got me bound, but I want to be free. Something's got me bound tonight, but I want to be free. If you'll slip out of your seat, act like you need him. Something's got you bound, but you want to be free. Come on, come on, come on. Something's got you bound, but you want to be free. Oh, Jesus said, I came that you might be free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, you're bound. Something's got you bound. You're struggling. You're struggling. Stop worrying about what people are thinking. Get down here. Something's got you bound. But Jesus has set you free. And he wants you to walk in the reality of it. He wants you to walk in the reality. Just lift your hands to him. Just lift your hands to him. God wants you to be free. Jesus died. He came out of heaven. He came out of glory. He humbled himself and wrapped himself in a robe of flesh. He let them beat him and mock him and spit on him so that he could obtain our eternal redemption, so that he could purchase our freedom. You are blood bought, blood washed, child of God, and Jesus didn't die for something to have mastery over you. He wants you and I to be free, to be free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He whom the Son sets free. Lift your hands to God. We're going to start right here, right over here, right over here, right over here. Be free in the name of Jesus. You be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship God in here. Come on, worship God. Saved by some cheap, greasy grace. We were saved by the blood of Jesus. He redeemed us from the curse. As far as the curse is found, Jesus has redeemed us. Glory be to God. Oh, how many, it feels good to be free. It feels so good to be free. It feels so good to be free. Woo! It feels so good. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! It feels so good. It feels so good to be free. It feels so good to be free. He died so that we could be free. Oh, glory to God. He died to set us free. Listen to me now, very important. You're here tonight, but you know you're not living for God. You're a Christian, you've given your life to Christ, but you know, God knows, you're not living for God. God's got something special for you tonight, but you're going to have to put your flesh under. Come down here. Let God help you. Slip out of your pew. Come down here and let me pray for you. You know you're not living right. You know some things have got to change. God's got so much for you. He's got so much to do for you. Through you. Listen, He's not here to condemn you. He's going to wash away the past. But you're going to have to decide if you're going to obey him or not. Or if you're going to be more concerned about man. If you're going to be more interested in man than you are in what the Lord says. Come down here and let him help you. Oh, come on down here, let him help you. He wants to help you today. Come on, come on, come on. I know you're not the only one, my sister. Stay right there. God's got something for you. She's not the only one. Come on now. God's trying to help you. If you sit there in pride, you sit there in pride when God's trying to help you tonight. He's moving by his Spirit. He wants to help you. Oh, but the Bible says if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. If we'll be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Come on, come on, while the Spirit of God's moving. I know our sister's not the only one in here tonight. So come on down here and let God help you. He's going to turn some things around. Your year is going to turn around, but you're going to have to obey him. Oh, my sister, just lift your hand to the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for Nicole tonight. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your hand, your power. We thank you for the ministry that you have for Nicole tonight. We thank you, Father God, your hand is on her. Father God, we thank you, your Spirit is upon her. And we thank you that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And may your anointing come on her like never before. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for restoration. He's a restorer. He's a rebuilder. He's a rewarder. But you got to obey him. There's no substitute for obedience. You're going to have to obey him. Praise God. Come on, come on, come on. Let God help you. Let God help you. You can sit there in pride, or you can come and let God help you. Let him help you. That's right. Come on, sis. That's okay. Praise God. I know that's a long walk. I know that's a long walk. But God wants to help you. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift your hand to the Lord. Father, we thank you for our sister tonight. Father, as she comes tonight, we thank you for touching her. We thank you for helping her. Restore, rebuild, forgive, help her. Say, Lord Jesus, I come. Say this out loud. Lord Jesus, I come. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for forgiving me, washing me. I thank you for your plan for me. I thank you for restoration in every area of my life. And may your hand be upon her. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Let him help you. Let him help you. You can resist him, or you can let him help you. You can let him help you. You can let him help you. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift your hand to the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you tonight. Say this, Father, forgive me. Thank you for your plan for me. Thank you for restoring, rebuilding, and healing in the name of Jesus. And Father, may your call come to complete fruition in his life in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just say, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Give you my heart. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord. The Lord is good tonight, isn't he? The Lord is so good tonight. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We worship you for all you've done. Just like it says in Psalm 107, we're going to say so. We're going to praise you. We're going to sing about it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to extol you. We're going to bless you. And Father, everybody who came to the altar tonight, we thank you, Father God, for your hand supernaturally upon them. And we thank you for helping, restoring, rebuilding tonight. Anybody here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never given your life to Jesus. And you say, well, I've never prayed to receive Christ. Is there anybody here? You've never given your life to Christ. You don't know what would happen to you if you died tonight. Is anybody here like that? Come down here and let me pray for you if you're here. Oh, God wants to help you. God wants to help you. So much rejoicing in heaven when one person repents. Praise God. So make sure we don't leave. Oh, Father, we're grateful. Father, we thank you. We honor you and bless you for ministering to your people, helping your people. Thank you, Father. You've got it. God's got it. You've got it. You've got our answer in every situation. Whether wanderers or prisoners, you've got the answer. Whether we're storm-tossed, whatever the case may be, you've always got the answer. And so we trust you. We look to you and thank you tonight for being so good to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, real quick, we're going to take this offering for Pastor Hagen. I promise you we're going to go as fast as we can. If you can, help us with this offering. This is our last two opportunities to give today and Wednesday. We were about $4,000 below what we gave him last year. And how many know we got the best pastor in the world? We got the best pastor on the planet. Somebody said, well, why are you telling us that? Sometimes people just want to know that. They just want to know, hey, what's the need? What are we doing? So if you can throw something in the offering bucket, then do that. We're going to receive the offering very quickly. I gave down before I came up to preach. I gave to his offering on my watch. And however you want to give, text to give. If you're going to text, put in the word Hagen, 28950. Put in the word Hagen, a space, and the amount you'd like to give. If you're going to give by offering envelope, write Hagen on the line item on the offering envelope. You can give rhemabiblechurch.com/give, whatever it is. But his birthday's coming up September the 3rd. So we have just a short amount of time now to complete the offering for him. We want to do that tonight. We'd like to get all that in tonight, have that out of the way. When Pastor gets in back off the road, we'll have his offering all set for him. Amen. He's the best. He is the best man of God, humble and anointed and just amazing, full of wisdom, full of love. And we love him. It's such a joy. Tad, any of the others would tell you, it's such a joy to work for him and Mrs. Hagen. Anybody will tell you that. It's just an honor. All right, everybody ready to give? Father, thank you for this offering. We receive it now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for blessing the man of God that you've set in charge of this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, let's trust these ushers now. They're going to get this offering in and out, lickety-split. Just give them a moment. I promise you this is just going to take a moment. Just trust them. They're the fastest ushers this side of heaven. They'll get this. If we all get up and start moving, it'll slow them down. It'll get in the way of the offering. So just let them do their good work. They're serving under the anointing. They're ushering under the anointing. And the Bible says whoever serves ought to do it with the strength that God gives. That's what these ushers are doing. They're serving with the strength that God supplies. Let's let them do their good work. They'll have it out of here in just a moment. Let's let them get all of that. They're just on the way here. We thank you so much for coming tonight. We encourage you to pray for Pastor Mrs. Hagen, the crusade team that's with them. They're down in Florida. Where did we say? Kissimmee, Florida? So they're down there holding a crusade. And, you know, it's a big day when you preach here, then get on a plane and fly to Florida and then start a crusade the same night. That is hard to do. That takes big time strength. And yet the Hagens do that tirelessly again and again. And so let's continue to keep them in our prayers. We're almost done here. They're moving so quick. They're moving so quick here. And we've almost got that whole thing done. These guys are so fast. Give all these ushers a big hand. We appreciate them. And then snow, rain, sleet, our parking lot workers are out there serving us all the time. I'm glad it's kind of sunny and nice today. They serve in all kinds of weather. Give the parking lot workers a big hand. You get in trouble once you start thanking people because nothing would go without our sound and video, without our Paul, you guys come on down, Reverend Paul, without our connection team and our prayer room, altar care workers, nothing would work without all of our helpers, and we're so grateful for every single one from the children's department right on down. We thank God for them. All right, stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. Father, until we see each other again, would you bless us and keep us? We trust you to protect us and to guard us until we see each other again. We thank you for the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brother and sister, you are dismissed. God bless you.